Choice Tunes every second and fourth Wednesday of the month at 2 p.m. with Alan Collier introducing a special guest each show where they reveal their selection of favourite tracks. Tune in to discover what music influenced their lives. Only on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley.
I like the sound of that.
Springfield's an island of dreams. We all know what that is. An introduction to Choice Tunes. Now, the person I've got for Choice Tunes today, you've heard her, so I'll tell you it's a lady, on Yarra Valley before, but we've been talking to her about Red Cross. But today we're going to find out all about her life and the music that's influenced her life. So I've got with me Jennifer Seabrook, and she's the chair of the Yarra Valley Red Cross. She's also the chair of Zone 1 for Red Cross and also on the Victorian Advisory Board. So she knows a little bit about Red Cross. We'll get that in a little bit later, but first of all, welcome, Jennifer.
Thank you, Alan.
Thanks for taking part of In Choice Tunes.
It's a pleasure.
So now, you know the first question I'm going to ask, and the first question is, where were you born?
Burwood Community Hospital.
Oh, you haven't gone far?
No, I haven't gone far at all. But it's changed. It's a retirement village now, so I might
Fair
end
enough.
Up there.
I wasn't going to say that. No, I'm not going to say that. So, all right, were you brought up in Burwood or
Mount Waverley.
Mount Waverley. And all your sort of young life?
Until I got my first job, moved out of home, yep.
So that's the next question, but that's probably the second job you had. What's the first ever job you had?
Worked in the newsagents around the corner from home a couple of nights a week after school. I'd get off the bus and walk in and sell cigarettes and newspapers and the occasional girly magazine.
And they go out in brown paper bags?
They were in plastic. I don't remember the brown paper bags, but, you know.
Some nerdy old men bought them, I'll bet. All right, so then you've gone through school. So now, what was your first job? You said you had to move out of home to do it. So what was your first job?
After university, I got a job as a sales rep for a pharmaceutical company. And that enabled me to move out of home because I had a salary.
So you had a salary. Yeah. So were you on the road?
Yep. In fact, my region was eastern metropolitan Melbourne, and then my country area was up from Seymour up to Albury Wodonga, northeastern Victoria.
Oh, that's right. So how long did you do that job?
4 years as a sales rep. And then I moved into a different pharmaceutical company in research, in clinical research, where we look at how medicines work in people.
So you had didn't so much have a background in sales, it was more in the actual
in science.
Research.
Yes, yeah.
Oh, terrific. So how long did you do that?
Another 8 years, I think 12, 13 years altogether in the pharmaceutical industry.
Yep.
Before my husband and I set up a business, a consultancy business. Back in those days, the only people who wrote information for pharmaceutical companies were advertising agencies or PR companies.
Oh, yeah.
1 minute they're writing an ad for a car or a cigarette, and the next minute the writers are expected to understand science and write something appropriate for a doctor or a patient.
Pardon me. So did you do the research behind it, or how did you get the information? Had you done research on that product, or did you get details from other people's research?
Collect details from other people's research.
Right. So did you have another job after that?
In the pharmaceutical industry, I worked in clinical research for two different companies, and then we set up our business back in 1992, and which we kept until the business part of the business we sold and part of the business we retired off back in 2014.
Oh, so once you started in the medical, you never really got out of the medical side, did you?
Yeah.
So we're not here to talk about your husband, but we'll just bring him into it. Had he gone with medical research the same, straight from university, or had he done a bit like you into sort of sales or something?
No, he'd gone straight from university into research. In fact, researching jellyfish venoms, and then moved into the pharmaceutical industry, and which is where I met him. He was my boss.
Oh, was he?
Yep.
You'd be trouble doing that, Lisa. All right, let's just get started. Your first song is Elton John and Crocodile Rock. I love this song. I often play it on Music Memories and More. But why did you pick it?
It reminds me of school.
School,
yep, but in the 70s. I went to a girls' school in Glen Iris, and our very first party with, you know, boys and girls and no parents in about year 11 was at a friend's Judy's house over in South Melbourne. Not quite sure how she got to Glen Iris from South Melbourne, but we had this party and that was a song of those times, and you can't keep your feet still when the song's on. It's just amazing.
All right, let's listen to it.
Never knew me.
Welcome back to Choice Tunes, and we're talking to Jennifer Seabrook, and she's the chair of the Yarra Valley Red Cross and Zone 1, and also on the Victorian Advisory Board. But we're talking about her life through music. Jennifer, you said you did research. You've been a sales rep, and you've also had this business with your husband. Out of those jobs, what was the most gratifying, or the job you liked the most?
Running the business. It's
because great. Your own business, or because you're working for yourself, or what other reason?
Well, it's great for your ego. Yep. When somebody asks you specifically to do a job, you go, "Oh, that's pretty cool, isn't it?" And then you've got to work out how to do it.
Yep.
So then that becomes a challenge. There were many, many challenges because we put in proposals to do all sorts of jobs that we had no idea how to do, and you just had to find a way to
do it if you got it.
Given the opportunity to do it. So that the entirety of the spectrum of the jobs we were asked to do there was interesting. And we also worked a lot, very, very closely with a lot of medical specialists and developed some really nice relationships with people across the country.
I've got to ask you this. And it sounds awfully sexist, but we're talking about a few years ago now. I spent a lot of years on the rail, or in the early days as a sales rep. But did you find that because you were a woman in a sales role on the road, did you find any discrimination against yourself? Or
interestingly, the one that springs first to mind is when I called on my own GP, and he said it was disgusting that I had been hired by the pharmaceutical company. All they wanted to do was to use my feminine wiles in order to convince doctors to prescribe things.
And that was your own doctor?
That was my own GP. And I said to him, "Did you know I've got a science degree? Then I majored in pharmacology."
Yeah. And what did he say then?
He didn't know that.
Did he alter, pardon me, did that alter his views at all?
I'm not sure. I don't think I ever went back to him as a sales rep or as a patient.
He gave it to someone else. All right. Nancy Sinatra, "These boots are made for walking all over you." Why?
When I was at uni, a bunch of us used to do a lot of walking every summer. We went down to Tasmania for a month and tramped around Australia. I remember putting on my first pair of boots and walking in a puddle and being so excited because, you know, Mum was pretty strict. I wasn't allowed to do things like walk in puddles. And it was, that was very momentous. And then more recently, about 15 years ago, some friends that we met up here invited Ray and I to go walking with them village to village in Europe.
And
our first walk was about a 100-kilometre walk from Bologna to Florence over a week, 10 days. And that was a new experience for us to spend that length of time with some new friends
and
walking from village to village while someone else took your luggage. It was fantastic.
Sounds good. All right, let's listen to it. Nancy Sinatra and "These Boots Are Made to Walk Are Going to Walk All Over You."
You keep saying you got something for me, something you call love, but confess, you've been a messin' where you shouldn't have been a messin', and now someone else is getting all your best. These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days these boots are gonna walk all over you. Yeah. You keep lying when you ought to be truthing, and you keep losing when you ought to not bet. You keep saying when you ought to be a-changing. Now what's right is right, but you ain't been right yet. These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days these boots are gonna walk all over you. Yeah.
You keep playing where you shouldn't be playing. And you keep thinking that you'll never get burned. Ha! I just found me a brand new box of matches, yeah. And what he knows you ain't had time to learn. These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days these boots are gonna walk all over you. Are you ready, boots? Start walking.
Welcome back to Choice Tunes, and we're talking to Jennifer Seabrook. Jennifer, I presume your first job that you got a car with it, because we all got cars. But did you own a car yourself beforehand?
No. I drove my parents' cars until I left uni and got the job, and as you say, got a company car.
And what sort of car did you get?
That's a good question.
Most of them were Falcons or Holdens in those
days.
Yeah,
I think it must have been a Holden. Must have been a Holden Commodore. And then when I moved to clinical research, I also had a car that was a Ford Telstar.
Yep.
And then when Ray and I started our business, we had one car between us. Right. And it wasn't until 7 or 8 years ago that I actually got my own first
car. Fair digger.
Paid for with real money.
Earth, Wind and Fire, Boogie Wonderland. How come that got in there?
We went to Antarctica at the end of 2017. Went on a trip that left from Hobart and went down to eastern Antarctica, where there are very few tourist trips. It's on a very small boat. It used to be a research ship, a Russian research ship. There were maybe 40 passengers, about 10 crew. And the expedition leader, Howard Whelan, was one of the consultants to the film Happy Feet.
Oh, yeah, yep.
On penguin behaviour and what penguins look like and all of that sort of thing. And when you're in the travelling those days across nothingness, there are often lectures and other forms of entertainment, and the film Happy Feet was to be played one day. And for some reason there was something going wrong with the equipment, and so they just started playing Boogie Wonderland, and the 40 people down in the bowels of the ship got up and amongst all the chairs were dancing around and having the most amazing time.
Let's go for it. So, Jack, you've had a background in medical, in research and selling drugs. And all, well, I shouldn't say selling drugs, but you know what I mean, selling legal drugs. If, forget about qualifications, forget about anything, if there was any, what job, it could be anywhere in the world and it could be at any level of the world, any level of jobs, what would be your ideal job?
I always wanted to be the CEO of Vic Health.
Did you? Yeah. Why?
Health promotion. Remember in the 70s that Norm?
Norm, yeah. Norm. I remember Norm well.
I had Norm up on my wall and the bank that supported it, it doesn't exist anymore, I don't think, that bank, but I used to walk past that on the way to the station every day, all the ads. And
why would you have liked to be in the CEO there?
I think it's really important that people are given information in a way that is relevant to them, to help them make the decisions that are best for their health.
Not tell them what,
not
what
tell
they
them
should
what
do.
To do. Not tell them, you know, you must lose 5 kilos or you must.
We all should do that.
That's
most people.
Different people have different reasons for good and bad habits. And I think if you can encourage people into good habits, then you're doing not only them, but you're doing the world a favour.
Way to go. All right, James Taylor, Shower the People. Oh, why that one?
It's just a great song. Both my husband and I, we're great James Taylor fans, and we did see him in Melbourne. And I hope you've got the version that has got Arnold McCullough singing with him. If not, you should have a look at that on YouTube. It is the most amazing version of this
Greg
song.
Greg got it for me. I gave him the details you had, so let's have a look.
You can play the game, you can act out the part, though you know it wasn't written for you. Tell me how to stand there with your broken heart, ashamed of playing a fool. When one thing can lead to another, it doesn't take any sacrifice now. Oh, father and mother and sister and brother, if it feels nice, don't think twice. Shower the people you love. If we only will, all I really mean to say is shower the people you love in love. Show them the way that you feel. Things are gonna be much better if we only will. You can run, but you cannot hide. This is widely known, and what you plan to do with your foolish pride when you're all by yourself alone. Won't you tell somebody the way that you feel? You can feel it beginning to ease. I think it's true what they say about the squeaky wheel.
Thank you. Strap Jennifer down during that song that really got her on the go. Jennifer, one of the reasons that we interviewed, interviewed you a couple of times is about Red Cross. So, first of all, what got you into Red Cross? Why did you join Red Cross?
Back in 2006, there was an ad on the front page of the Upper Yarra Mail. They were calling for volunteers to help, particularly with catering in, small fires that the CFA attended or the larger bushfires or whatever emergency event. Yep. And so I thought, oh, sounds a good idea. So I joined up, and not long after that, January 2007, was the Milners Road fire.
Yep.
And we had to organise 600 sandwiches within half an hour or something or other, and I didn't like the way that the person who had done all the food shopping did it, so I offered to take on that role and became the catering officer for the region for a while until Red Cross basically stopped doing catering. Yep. So I joined to help out in emergencies.
So what's been your biggest highlight being part of Red Cross?
Like anybody who is involved in emergency services back in those days, we will all say that the emergency catering situations during the 2009 bushfires, that catering team that I was looking after did 24,500 meals over 10 different locations over the month. That was a pretty mammoth effort from a bunch of volunteers.
Yeah.
No, Black Saturday.
Oh, Black Saturday.
Yeah,
because they were active in the Ash Wednesday too. I remember seeing them.
Yeah, it's actually really where the membership of Red Cross, the emergency services side of things, really took off.
Yep.
Red Cross was around as a membership organisation. Yep. It has been since 1914 in Australia, and lots of the members helped spontaneously, as did very many members of the public. Yep. But they really formalised it after Ash Wednesday and set up the Emergency Services Division, which is still useful right across Australia. I think in the current floods we've had something like nearly 300 volunteers have been deployed from Victoria in the current floods.
See, that's something where a lot of these organisations, like we talk about the SES, the CFA, and the floods and fires and all that. But very often people like Red Cross don't get any kudos because they're working in the background, aren't they? They're not the first responder that gets out to them. And very often they're very undersung, I think.
A lot of what Red Cross does today in emergencies is to help at an individual level for a person. Yeah. We assist the Victorian Police with registration of people who are displaced or just need some documentation to say they were involved in an...
But you don't hear a lot of that, do you, on the news?
No. Sometimes you do. The fires, for example, Red Cross was very much involved with the evacuation from Mallacoota.
Oh, yeah.
So they were the people who organised the way everybody got onto the boats and things like that, apparently. And often, I notice very easily the Red Cross logo on the television if we're in an emergency.
But not everyone does.
Like that. Yep.
All right, Dixie Chicks, Not Ready to Make Nice.
What another great song. I remember the Afghan War and the comment that Natalie made about George Bush and the horrendous backlash that she got quite unexpectedly from lots of people, and it nearly took the Dixie Chicks out of music completely.
Yep.
But they came back with this song, and it's I just love it.
Let's listen to it. Choice Tunes. We're talking to Jennifer, and she's the chair of the Yarra Valley Red Cross and Zone 1, and also advisory board member for Victoria. But Jennifer, you were just talking about trauma teddies. Are they your members that knit them, or there are just other people knit them and donate them to Red Cross?
It's a combination. We don't have very many knitters here in the Yarra Valley, but across Victoria there are hundreds of them.
Right.
And one.
So you want more in the Yarra Valley?
Absolutely, absolutely. And in Frankston, they knit about 1,000 trauma teddies a month.
That's unreal.
It is. There's about a dozen members of the Frankston branch, plus friends of theirs who meet once a month at the local Spotlight store, and they sit there and knit. and make teddies, and other people will walk past and donate a ball of wool or something like that.
Yeah.
And then they distribute them to either the local hospitals or doctor surgeries, dentist surgeries, or in the recent floods, I think about 2,000 were distributed to flood victims across Victoria. And nationally, we've sent tens of thousands of them to Ukraine since, well, since February last year.
February this year. That's terrific. Ella Fitzgerald. Ella Fitzgerald, isn't it romantic?
Yes. Well, about 20 years ago, Ray and I were in New York for a couple of weeks for a holiday.
Right.
And we had this amazing night, went to a Russian restaurant for dinner, went to a show, saw Alan Alda in Art, which was an amazing play. And then we walked outside and there was a commotion down on Broadway. And Ray's fairly tall. And he had his video camera on his hand and he raced down the sidewalk and there was Goldie Hawn and Steve Martin kissing, doing a take for the show at the Out of Towners. And, of course, every time they kissed, the crowd's going, ooh, and ah.
Yeah.
And Ray's having the time of his life videoing the professional team filming the scene from the show. It actually ended up getting cut out of the movie. But,
oh, that's bad luck.
But, yeah, it's one of the main songs in the show.
Let's listen to it. Ella Fitzgerald and Isn't It Romantic? Jennifer, it's fast coming time for us to call it a day. At 3 o'clock, we'll have the news and then Greg will be on with the Oz Indie Show from 3 to 5. So apart from Red Cross, are you involved in anything else, Jennifer, yourself?
Yes, I do Breakfast Club at the Gladysdale Primary School on a
for
Wednesday
Red
morning.
Cross or for
no,
someone else?
No, I heard an interview with the CEO of Food Bank on the radio sometime, yep. And I was so impressed with what they're able to achieve. If I remember correctly, for every 25-cent donation, they can match that with food donations and their skills and volunteers, yep. And create 4 meals for somebody.
That's terrific.
It was
isn't it?
it was just astounding, and I thought, oh, I wonder what they do out here and what I could help with. And I discovered that they had a need for people helping with Breakfast Club. You just go onto their website and type in your area, and it'll show you what sort of volunteer jobs are available.
Oh, terrific!
And I love it.
Right, Van Halen and Jump. How did that get in?
Okay, well, this one's for Melissa.
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 Who's Melissa?
Melissa is the Pilates teacher at Yarra Rangers Physio in Yarra Junction.
Right.
And like many people, I've had a back injury, as had my husband, and we started doing Pilates. And, you know, you think about Pilates and yoga as sort of gentle exercise, yeah. Designed to strengthen your core, but gentle exercise for those that perhaps may be a little tender.
Yeah.
Well, there's 4 of us on a Tuesday morning. The age ranges from 50 to 78. And a couple of weeks ago, Melissa had us doing jump squats.
Oh, yeah?
And not only just jump squats, but jump squats with your legs wide apart in a sumo position. And my face was a bit like yours there. And I'm thinking, this is just ridiculous, Melissa. I've done plenty of jump squats in my time, never like this. Melissa's face was a combination of incredulity and an attempt to keep a straight face when all she wanted to do was get out her phone and video us. I'm sure it was so that she could send it to Australia's
Got Talent. As long as it doesn't turn up on some
on funniest home videos. And, of course, the song that was playing at the time was Jump.
Unfortunately, we've got to go. Thank you for being part of Choice Tunes. It's been great to hear all about your past and the music that's been part of your lifetime. And we thank you for that. We'll certainly be talking to you sometime in the new year about Red Cross, because Red Cross does a great job. And, of course, there are a few op shops around too that people can support at the same time too, aren't there?
Indeed, there are. Red Cross in Croydon.
Thank you very much for your time, Jennifer. We'll go with Van Halen and Jump.